You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, happy Thursday. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all sorts of news about the Los Angeles Kings as they get ready to start their season. You're hearing news about the Kings every day of the week here on this very show. My name is Sarah Avampato, always glad to be here with you. If you're just joining me for the first time, if you don't know who I am, well, you have potentially previously read my work over at Jewels from the Crown, the SB Nation site for the Los Angeles Kings. I am also now easing my way on into writing for Hockey Royalty, covering the Kings over there. I've been around the internet talking about hockey, and we're going to talk about hockey right now here on this show as we take a look at the Kings. So training camp is underway, so we're going to dive into that today. And then we're also going to sort of round things up, finish out our discussion of prospects, because prospect tournaments are over. Rookie camp is here. Training camp is here. So it is time for all those guys who had big showings at the rookie games out in Arizona to make it happen with the big club. So we're going to end today with a little look at who impressed, who didn't impress, who we wanted to see more from, and maybe some medium spicy takes coming out of rookie games that the Kings participated in. Before we get into that, a couple of sort of general NHL news items that have popped up here and there. The first one is that, this isn't really relevant to the Kings, but I kind of want to, you know, bring it up, is that the Buffalo saga of Jack Eichel continues. The Sabres have now announced that he is being placed on an injured reserve. He failed his physical and he is having his captaincy removed. He hasn't had the surgery that he wants yet. There's still that dispute between what he wants and what the Sabres want. So really, that's just like, I love mess, but this is like extra mess, guys. So nothing continues to happen with Jack Eichel, and I suspect at this point that he's gonna remain a Saber until that medical issue is resolved. Because also, what team is going to want to trade for a guy who still has some sort of outstanding medical issue? That's pretty tough. So, that's still an ongoing situation. And for whatever my personal feelings are about Jack Eichel, like, it kind of stinks for him that this is the situation he has found himself in through not necessarily any fault of his own, through largely just the systemic issues with the Buffalo Sabres. But you know, I'm glad that we are not part of this mess. Let's put it that way. We are also, as training camps are starting, we're hearing more and more about team vaccination rates because the NHL, as we have learned, is not going to be able to have their players exempt in terms of border crossings into or out of Canada. There's going to be quarantine requirements. There's going to be testing requirements. And so players who aren't able to cross the border or who can but have this massive quarantine requirement, they're going to lose out on games. They're going to lose out on playing and on money. We've already heard from the Red Wings, Tyler Bertuzzi has declined to get vaccinated and is going to lose an estimated $400,000 for not playing in many games because of the fact that he's not going to be able to. So we're hearing a lot of teams with, you know, 100% success rate, vaccination rate. We have seen a few teams lose coaches over this, either due to medical reasons. Rocky Thompson, who's an assistant out in San Jose, he had to step down because he has a medical reason for not being able to be vaccinated. We've heard of some other coaches who have just refused. There is, of course, Zach Rinaldo, who is useless, who went out at a rally, an anti-vax rally, and talked about why he shouldn't have to be vaccinated, whatever. So he has already been told he is not coming to Columbus Blue Jackets camp. There's one player with the Islanders who just went on Instagram and was like complaining about his human rights or whatever. So sorry, bud, that I've never heard of before. it's not your human right to be a hockey player. So whatever. So we don't know anything yet about the Kings. I suspect we may hear a little bit more once there's media availability and such coming out of this first day of training camp. And if we don't hear anything, honestly, we'll start finding out when the team has to go to Canada, if there is anyone left behind or who otherwise has to miss out on games. But many, many teams are having 100% or almost 100% compliance with vaccinations. I know the Oilers only have one holdout. They almost had two. Duncan Keith was one of them, but he got vaccinated kind of at the last minute once he realized really how tough it was going to be unvaccinated and continue to play this season in the NHL. Fans also are going to have an experience in terms of COVID requirements when they go to games. This is math per Eric Engels on Twitter, but the NHL sent out a memo today to all teams regarding fan vaccination and mask requirements. Every building except for the Bell Center in Montreal and the Rogers Arena in Vancouver are going to be able to operate at 100% capacity. Obviously, that's going to be up to local ordinances and everything. I'm sure that if areas see COVID flare-ups, it is possible that attendance will start to be capped or something. But right now, all but Montreal and Vancouver. Of the 32 arenas, 10 are requiring proof of vaccination only. So doesn't matter if you have a negative test, whatever, you must be vaccinated to attend. 8 of 32 require proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. 14 arenas don't require any proof whatsoever. And 21 arenas are going to make all fans wear masks at games. In terms of Staples Center, all guests two and over are required to present either full proof of vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test taken within 72 hours of the event. And of course, you're going to have to show ID to make sure that your COVID card matches your ID. Because the world hates anyone who doesn't have pockets, Staples Center is declining to allow people to bring bags in except for like uselessly small clutch wallet things. So that sucks. Staples is also requiring face coverings for all guests two and over, unless you're actively eating or drinking. And of course, there's going to be things like hand sanitizer stationed around, soap dispensers. The place is cashless and are encouraging mobile ordering for food and beverages. So if you're heading to Staples Center, I mean, you're in California, so you already know the many stringent requirements that the state of California and particularly Los Angeles has enacted. But if you are headed to a Kings game at Staples Center, you must either be vaccinated or have proof of a negative test. If you happen to be heading to Ontario to see the rain at some point or to see the Kings versus Kings game that's happening over the weekend, Ontario is also requiring proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. That is also for guests two and up. The test has to be done within 72 hours of the time of entry. Ontario is recommending masks, but is not requiring them, but you will have the same vaccination or negative test requirements that you would have in Los Angeles. This is California guidelines. This isn't, you know, teams trying to make things difficult. That is a requirement from the state of California. So you will have your chances to see the Kings. You'll just have to jump through a few extra hoops. If you're someone who is traveling to see the Kings, or if you're out of market and you're excited to see them come to your own town, obviously your own arena policies apply. But that's the current status of things if you do want to come and check out the Los Angeles Kings. We're going to take a quick check-in on training camp right after this. But first, betonline.ag is back, and it is better than ever. Not only is hockey coming back, but football, of course, is here, and football is the bread and butter of many people who are into sports betting, and BetOnline is your number one spot for all of the pro and college football action this season. BetOnline has refreshed their site. They've got a new updated interface. You can find more odds, props, and contests, which keeps BetOnline.ag the number one source for everything football. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 100% welcome bonus. That is double your initial deposit just for signing up. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started so you can take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline.ag, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. And I figure if you're into sports betting, you're also into watching sports on TV, because how else would you know what's going on? Well, as I have talked about on this show, sometimes it's really frustrating to even know where to watch the sports. You have a billion different apps now, you have a bunch of different devices, and it's just overwhelming. Well, I have a simple way right now for you to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. The best part of it is that there is no annual contract. So stop waiting, stop being frustrated, get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices are required. Content varies by package. All right, so Kings training camp is underway right now as we're recording, as we speak, possibly even as you listen to this, depending on when you get around to it. As always, the groups are broken up into three different groups. There's, you know, something like 66 players. There are 66 players coming to training camp. That includes, of course, all the regular NHLers, all of the recent draft picks, and also guys like Brett Sutter, who are on AHL-only deals, who are basically here as, you know, invitees. But as soon as rain camp opens, those guys will be going down. This also includes guys like TJ Tynan, Garrett Sparks, who were signed in the offseason, who are really going to be playing with the rain. And it also includes a handful of free agent camp invite guys, undrafted players who have also been participating in these rookie games. That includes guys like Lorenzo Canonica, Logan Morrison, Ty McSorley, who is, in fact, apparently a vague, distant relation of Marty McSorley. But training camp also includes some of those guys as well. They'll usually be some of the first ones to go, but you need to fill out rosters. So you're going to have a few extra hangers on, let's say. The groups are usually pretty evenly divided between guys who are going to make the NHL and guys who are going to go back. For example, Group A has Victor Arvidsson, Anze Kopitar, and Dustin Brown skating together. But we've also got Tyler Madden, Rasmus Kupari, Samuel Fagamo, who are all most likely headed back to the AHL. Group C is really the one that has mostly younger guys. Of the people on their roster, Andreas Athanasiou is really kind of the only one who's in lock for the NHL team. We've also got Quentin Byfield, who we don't entirely know where he's going to end up. But the Group C is really maybe the one you need to watch the least, because it has mostly guys who are going to be in the AHL. Byfield is also still out. He is out with a non-COVID illness, they've said. It's not an injury. It is not COVID, but he is out with some sort of illness. It is not apparently related to the illness that has kept Brant Clark out of camp. He didn't make any of the rookie games and is also not on the camp roster. So whatever is going on with him, and again, the team has clarified that it is not COVID, it is some other illness. He is going to be starting his season with the Barrie Colts, because at this point, he's not on the Kings training camp roster. So there goes any hope you maybe have had of Brant Clark somehow coming in and stealing an NHL spot. But other than that, Akil Thomas is also out with an injury. But again, most of your usual suspects who are going to be fighting for NHL spots are between Group A and Group B. It doesn't really appear like anything's going to be streamed online. Everything is just happening live at Toyota Sports Performance Center out in El Segundo. So if you are local, you can go pick up tickets to it. I believe the tickets are free. They're just, you know, trying to keep an eye on attendance for COVID purposes and everything. But we, of course, will have more updates for you throughout the week and next week as training camp continues, as cuts are made, as, you know, stars happen to emerge. We'll keep an eye on all of that. And since this is really the last chance we're going to get to form some opinions, let's say, about some of these young guys and how they're doing, I also wanted to finish up with a little bit of prospect talk that I had with Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks, because we had both sat down and watched basically all of each other's team's rookie games in that Arizona rookie roundup thing. So we sat down together and talked about our own prospects and who we were excited by, who we want to see more from, and who some surprise stars were in those games. So that is coming up right now on Locked On Los Angeles Kings.
I'm going to start off with your team first. Uh-oh. And give a player, well, one player that I really thought was great this whole tournament was Sam Fagamo.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good shot, is not shy about putting up big volumes, but also putting up some good numbers as far as goals are concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. He is, I think he only played two of the three games for the Kings, but in both of those games that he played, he was very easily one of, if not the best players on the ice for them. He consistently led the team in shots, in helping to create chances, and as one reporter put it on Twitter, he was playing like a guy who is ready to go into Kings camp and earn a spot on the team. Is there room for him right now? I don't think so, but he is a guy who is playing so determined and is really, you know, has risen to like elevate his play at every level he's played at, that I think that it's only a matter of time until we see him. But I was really, really pleased to see his performance there, especially after I know he missed time in the AHL with injuries and everything. So seeing him already coming into the year with the right mindset is great.
So what's one Ducks prospect that you were particularly like, who you thought was pretty good this tournament?
One of the names that kept standing out to me in the games I watched was Olin Zellweger.
Yes.
Very fast, very speedy. Like, watching his skating was like, for as much as I said last season or whatever, you know, that Jamie Drysdale is like watching a video game, so is Zellweger. Like, uh-huh. It's just that kind of such smooth, effortless skating. And seeing both of them, I think they both were paired together a little bit.
Like, very briefly, but
yeah,
they were. Yeah,
and I feel like that is just, I can't speak enough to how good defensively either of them is as a young defenseman, but that could be a pairing that is just, like, pure chaos on ice that could get stuff done. But he definitely, I feel like every time he was on the ice, stood out to me.
I agree with that. I mean, pure chaos in the sense that if you have both of them at the same time, and they could both easily get into the zone with quickness, with not having to take that many strides, they can get from blue line to blue line like that. And there's my snap again. But honestly, I like their quarterbacking on the power. That's why they were both out there.
Mm-hmm.
They were both out there on a power play at one point. They were both also out there when it was 6-on-5. It was one of those last second, mm-hmm. you know, try doing something. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, they did score two goals during that time. So maybe they're onto something there.
Yeah.
Who were you impressed with as far as Kings?
I would say on defense, Jordan Spence caught my eye. This will be his first year professional. He just wrapped up his junior's career in the Quebec League. And one of the things that stood out to me was his versatility. He is a defenseman who plays on the right side. And if you look at the Kings depth chart, they have about 8 million defensemen on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was frequently moved to the left side in these games, and it was just seamless. You know, you wouldn't know that that's not his normal position. He did play a little bit with Helga Granz, who is another defenseman who I'm pretty sure is coming over to the Reign this season. At least that's what the indications are.
That's what the rumor is.
And they both look pretty good together. I want to see more from Granz as well. You know, he's a newer drafted player, so haven't gotten to see a lot of him over here. But Jordan Spence really caught my eye. Alex Turcotte is someone who I think that he knows he has an uphill battle to earn a spot on this team at any point in time because of the addition of guys like Quentin Byfield and signing Phil Deneau and everything. I think Turcotte knows he needs to maybe diversify his game a little bit, or, you know, do the work to not just be necessarily the kid we drafted him as. And so I think that he still has a little bit of the young player kind of inconsistency or trying to do too much to his game. But I did like that I saw, you know, a little more physicality out of him, a little more just versatility and not just that kind of one trick game that we have seen from him previously. So I was glad to see him kind of take some steps forward. And then I'll give a nod to our goaltending with Matt Vallalta and Jacob Ingham. Lucas Preak also did well. This is his first time playing in any of these. He's just coming out of juniors. Mm-hmm. You know, the Kings lost the one game that he played in, but I don't hold that against him. Like, the Kings just, you know, he stopped like 20 something shots or whatever, but the Kings took about 1,000 penalties, and he was really good on the penalty kill, so that's great. But Matt Vallalta and Jacob Ingham are both already at the professional level. We've seen them at the AHL, and it's going to be interesting to see the competition between them this coming season, because there's only two spots in the AHL, and we've got three, at least, who have played and should play in the AHL. So both of them came into these games with confidence and with a lot more poise than I have seen from either of them previously. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what plays out in goaltending for the Reign, given that Garrett Sparks was signed to be the veteran guy. So he obviously is going to have a spot on the team. So good luck, guys.
I have a bold take on that.
Yes, do it.
I think that Ingham beats out Vallalta.
All right.
Even though Vallalta was the sort of number one goaltender for the Reign last season, mm-hmm. along with JF Berube, mm-hmm. I think Vallalta gets beat out.
All right.
Ingham showed me a lot of promise and, frankly, a lot better movement mm-hmm. in his game. So it's going to be really fascinating to see how that yeah. plays out in the next couple weeks. But that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. There's more coming up next, but first I want to tell you all about rockauto.com, because if you have a car, then chances are you have needed to fix something on it. And if you need to fix something on your car, then the whole process of buying things is sometimes really frustrating. You might go to a store, they're out of stock, all they're going to do is buy it online anyway. So save yourself the hassle, save the struggle, and stay home. And order your car parts from rockauto.com. Prices are reliably low. You can save 30, 50, even 100% compared against chain stores or car dealerships. And the best thing is that prices are reliably low for every customer. So it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a professional or if you're just, you know, tinkering, you're going to get the same low price. They have everything you could possibly need, and their website is really easy to navigate. Go to rockauto.com right now. Check out all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
I'm sure you had a pleasant surprise too.
The one that comes to mind first is Martin Kromiak, who scored a couple times for the Kings.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he looked really good. I think he played a lot with, you know, Byfield. He might, like, he just got really big minutes in these games, and is a player who kind of flies under the radar. He played basically in Europe all last year because of not having an OHL season.
Right.
And he is a guy who also consistently throughout his junior's career has really dominated every level he's been at. He's a fifth round draft pick, which feels a little surprising, but he has a really fun game. He should be going back to the OHL this year, so we'll actually get to see a little more of him. But he factored in a lot on scoring for the Baby Kings in this tournament. So I think there's a lot of promise there, and, you know, he'll be one to keep an eye on over the next season.
I called the Baby Ducks the Ducklings. Do you have a nickname for the Baby Kings?
Kinglings?
Kinglings, I don't think works.
No, it doesn't.
Princes,
I don't like
Princes
that,
doesn't
though.
Work. We'll stick with Baby Kings.
Yeah, we'll workshop this one.
Yeah. I hate to end on this note, but I'm going to go with one player. So I do have to mention this. Like, one player that I wish I could have seen more out of, or someone that I thought there's some work to be done. Sasha Pastujov. Even though he scored a hat trick on that first game, all three of those goals were either crashing the net, like just getting to the open spot, or in one case, having Trevor Zegras draw three defenders and then being left wide, completely wide open. That's how he got that third goal. Just no one covered him. And he kind of lunged his way through there. Like, the skating is a big thing.
Yeah.
His strides could use some work. Just his overall skating ability. I mentioned this from Felix Sicard, who mentioned this is going to be the one detriment to his game, and that's the one thing that he will have to work on is his skating. So that's one player where I looked at games 2 and 3 and went, I'd like to see more out of him. I'd like to see the skating improve, because he had a turnover, just he could not catch up to the defender, mm-hmm. ended up with a penalty, cost him the game. The overtime game against Colorado. So that's one player who I thought I'd like to see more out of later on. And I'm sure there's a player on your side that you want to see some improvement in.
You know, I don't know if improvement isn't the right word, but for me, it kind of falls in the same category as what you said about Jamie Drysdale, of mm-hmm. like, you have such high expectations for him that, you know, it's a little bit hard to meet anyway, and you just want to see more of him, but obviously the team is being careful. And Quentin Byfield kind of fell into that category for me.
Whoa.
Like, I really liked what I saw from him in the games. Like, it's not like he was bad. I think I saw a lot of strong movements from him in the corners, a lot of, you know, there was one play where he turned the puck over and then immediately after got it back and went end to end to set up a shot for another player. So there's, you know, mistakes that you're going to see from him, and that's fine. And he clearly made up for it, but I just feel like there could have been a little more energy, a little more oomph.
Whoa, wow.
And, like, but, like, it's hard because I really liked what he brought. Like, I think that he was great, but I just wanted to see, for a player who everyone is trying to say, like, should be on the Kings this year, I wanted to see a little bit more. And then it didn't help, too, that he got taken out of the third game very early.
Yeah.
Similarly to Trevor Zegras of, you know, some sort of minor injury, take him out as a precaution. I feel like if it was a real NHL game, he would have kept playing and whatever. But he was taken out with a quote-unquote upper body injury.
Which is nebulous.
Which is, yeah, a little, you know, questionable. And they said that they're just holding him out of the rest of the game as a precaution. So you don't even get a full body of work from him because they rightfully pulled him out of a meaningless game to avoid him getting hurt.
This is a spicy take. I love it.
That's not spicy at
all.
Well,
not spicy, but, you know, there's a little bit like, wow, someone's saying that he could improve. I mean, he could improve.
Right. I think, yeah, he's still very, very young. He's like 18, 19.
He's only 19.
Right. He was one of the youngest players in his draft class. Yeah. I think that he is also, from what we saw from him in the AHL, it kind of took him a little while to get going. You know, the
You're
beginning
right,
part of the season, like, I'm still like, this guy's great, but it wasn't like blowing my socks off. But by the end of the year, he was really in a groove in the AHL. In the NHL, you could already see him making plays that, like, his teammates didn't know what to do with because they weren't on the same level as him, which is also going to be exciting to see him play with, like, actual good line mates and not like apologies to like Austin Wagner, but Austin Wagner. I guess it's a little spicy because he is the Kings like prized prospect, but I think because of that, similar to Jamie Drysdale, we're holding him to a higher standard and we just want to see more. Like if Aiden Dudas or like some other random kid, and like I actually really like Aiden Dudas's game a lot. He's very sandpapery, gritty. Yeah, like he's like the best equivalent is like Andrew Shaw. Like he's
that's
player.
A good equivalent. Well, that's my equivalent to Hunter Drew in that
right,
same sense.
Right. And so like if it was like, you know, Aiden Dudas giving me the same exact game that Quentin Byfield gave, which is hilarious because Byfield is huge and Dudas is really small. but I would have been like, this is amazing. This is a revelation. But, you know, Byfield was number two in the draft. Like
he was.
I want him to be excellent all the time. And I want him to be amazing. I think Kings fans need to temper their expectations because they're expecting him to come in and be like the second coming of Anže Kopitar.
Oh, but you bring up something really good.
Still just a kid.
You bring up something really good. Uh-oh. I feel like I'm going to have that same expectation for Mason McTavish because he was the number three pick.
Yeah.
And I did not have him there at all. My expectation was he's going to be 7, 8, 9. But because the Ducks value him so high that I feel like expectations are going to be too high and they're going to be too aggressively high where fans say, hey, what about this development? What about this kid? Fans, temper your... I think we'll both tell you this.
Yeah.
Temper your expectations. Byfield's number two, but he's only 18, 19. McTavish is only 18 himself, and he's number three pick.
Yeah.
Wait it out. Let them develop. Let's see what happens
yeah.
in the coming years.
Yeah. It's the same problem that Kings fans have with Alex Turcotte.
Yes.
He was drafted fifth overall. In retrospect, was that too high? Maybe, especially considering the players drafted after him. But, you know, I think he is still going to grow into be a strong player. He's had so many, like, completely unrelated injury issues. Like, he had mono, and then over the summer he had to have, like, an emergency appendix out thing.
Yeah, that's just...
Like, there's just been so much random stuff that has kept him from being able to ever get a full season. You know, but so people are very, very tough on him because he was a number five draft pick.
I can really...
Which, like, I get it, but, you know, at the same time, like, where was, like, Cal Clifford was, like, a first-round pick, right?
I can also mention one player that I thought was overrated for the longest time because of all the injuries that he had, and it's Gabriel Vilardi.
Right.
I'll admit, I was hard on him. And I even said on this very podcast, yeah, he's overrated. He's the most overrated player on the Kings by far. But I have to keep in mind, he had back injuries. He had a lot of ailments that he had to get around. And to see where he's gone now... I take back a little bit of what I said,
yeah.
a little bit,
yeah.
and I feel it's going to be the same thing, like you mentioned, Jamie Drysdale. There's a couple other players on the Ducks that we can mention in that same regard. Sandy Milano, when he first came in, oh man, he scored the game winner, two goals, he's going to be great. Then he gets hurt.
Right.
All these other young players, where's Sam Steele? Like, isn't he supposed to be the next coming? How about Mac? Like, all these other young players, Mac Jones, yada, yada, yada. I get it. Some of them just haven't progressed the way we would have liked because we have such lofty expectations for these young kids. So I think we could both relate in the same regard as far as these kids are concerned. But I hope that we educated the fan bases on, you know, who's hot, who's... I don't want to say who's hot, who's not, but who to expect and who to watch out for in the coming couple weeks, because some of these guys will make their rosters, some will not, and we're going to see the goals in rain at least 8 times this season.
Oh, God.
That's a lot.
That's so many.
Oh, you look forward to this and you know it.
I do, but it's so many. It's like when we played Vegas 8,000 times. I don't want it.
I want rain versus goals 8 times. Those games are fun.
Yeah.
They're fun to cover. They're fun to watch live.
I guess.
You know how great those are?
I know.
You know, for the rain games, the rain fans, they get their own level of rowdiness.
Yeah.
And the goals fans, they come in.
Yeah, that's
one,
great.
2, 3, 4. Okay. It's all your fault. Like, it's fun for me to cover those games live.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Where can the fine folks find you on the socials and all your work?
Sure. So I'm on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. Always glad to hear your hot takes or your spicy medium takes about whatever. Locked On Kings is available at Locked On LA Kings on the Twitters, also available wherever you get your podcasts. And, you know, I'm also around on Locked On NHL on Wednesdays, where I co-host with Jess from Locked On Flames, and we talk about what's going on in the Western Conference, including talking about this prospect tournament rookie thingy that just wrapped up. We'll be talking about that on this week's show as well. So that's Locked On NHL Pods on Twitter. And again, all available wherever you get your podcasts.
Love it. And you can find me on Twitter at StimpyJD, as in that show that your parents warned you not to watch, apparently, Sarah. But I turned out just fine. I turned out just TV. And you could follow the show on Twitter at LO_ducks. Yes, there's a Simpsons quote for you there. LO_ducks on Twitter, where you could find everything ducks related and all that good stuff. Season's coming.
Heck yeah.
Woo, yeah. For, on behalf of Sarah and myself, on behalf of Locked On Kings and Locked On Ducks, this was Locked On SoCal Hockey to Finish. I'm Jason J.D. Hernandez, saying that I hope you have a great day. Please be safe out there. Be kind to one another. And Kings and Ducks, fly together.